Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Tacticos, episode number 10. Quite a few good games this week in terms of performances, in terms of obviously clashes. Jane, you with me? What are you saying? You good?
Yeah, same old shit, mate. Yeah, good weekend of football, man. Entertaining, obviously.
Entertaining, yeah, United, you know.
Always a good weekend when United win. That's it, mate. I don't give a shit about the rest.
That's a good point. I can't remember the last time we actually both won in the same week.
Bro, we're the most informed team, bro.
Oh, there must be a few then, to be fair. Must be a few,
games
before we've won together.
You know, when you're lost.
The thing is, the difference is, you've not been this happy. We won our last game, but I think in terms of you've never been happy in it, really.
Yeah. No, I think obviously the goal kind of tips it off, isn't it?
Do you want to start? Let's start United then. Let's start. We can come up to City and Liverpool obviously after, but that goal, when I seen it, oh my days.
That was outrageous.
Dirty, dirty. For such a small man to score a big goal.
That was clean. I think what makes it hard is he had to track back. Mm. So he went back a few steps and then obviously done the overhead kick from there. And it was top fucking bins, bro. That was probably the great... Let me see how I see you. Yeah, that probably is one of the best goals I've ever seen. I think one of the other ones that still holds weight, I think it was Ronaldo against Porto. It was 40 yards,
yeah,
that was.
That was serious.
That was near the
halfway line.
The center spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was near the center spot. Pure smash, bro. Like, that was...
I think Ronaldo's against Portsmouth as well is up there for me. The free kick.
That free kick.
Every time I look at it now, I can't, it's too sick. That's an unbelievable...
It is.
What about Zlatan?
It is better than... Zlatan's was unreal.
That's fake. That is fake. We're talking about the Sweden, England game, yeah?
Yeah, that's the one, the overhead kick.
That's outrageous. That one's outrageous. Yeah, I'm trying. People, obviously, Gary Neville was saying, obviously, do you think it's better than Rooney's? What do you think?
I think it is. Rooney shinned it first. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Rooney's holds weight because of who he is against, Man City. But still, like, I think the motion of him having to track back and then do it, like, he's in the corner of the box, basically. You know, he's not straight on. You know, Ronaldo, when he scored his, was straight on. Rooney, when he scored it, straight on. You know, they're in the kind of middle centre spot when that happened. You know, Garnacho is towards the left. You know, he's at the only way he's going to... That is the only spot he can actually get that in. It has to be such a clean fucking hit. He has to loop over into the far corner. And that was just phenomenal, bro. It's one of those where, like, I think the XG on that was like 0.08. That's still too high. You know, so what that means is every 100 shots, 8 go in. That's what that means. Bro, every 100 shots.
That's a lot. That's a lot, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Eight is a lot for that.
That's a 0.0,
XG,
bro.
On that goal. Bro, that is a 0.0. Yeah, 100%. There is no... how can you say after 100, 8
That's not right. That's not right.
You know what I mean? Someone could take 100 and none would go in.
Do you know what is? Even like with Garnacho, I would be like, with Garnacho, 0. You can argue like with obviously like Ronaldo or someone, you can argue is more. But that's what I'm saying. It should be less. Like, you're right. It should be less than that because of who he is.
Yeah, that's crazy. That just kicked off the game, though, isn't it? You know, that motion.
But this is...
And then obviously, like, after
obviously,
that...
Before that, obviously, they were pumped because obviously 10 points, deducted points. You've seen all the... Were the flyers they were holding with corrupt Premier League signs and whatnot?
Yeah.
They were pumped for that game. And then obviously, for that goal to go in after, 3 minutes? That's it. Silence. After that. Kind of helped United.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's never going to be an easy game going there, given the fixture, given the background of what's happened recently. And then, obviously, that fixture a bit for us is a bit of a bogey one as well, you know, of recent. I think last year we won, but other than that, you know, it's not an easy place. I don't think for anyone it's an easy place to go there and get 100%. A result. It's always one of those places where Doesn't matter how you win, just get the hell out of there. You know, just 3 points on out.
That's what we
you
did.
Know, you don't
One
want
nil.
you don't want a performance. You don't need a performance at that place.
No.
You just need to get the result and get out. You know, that's and to be honest, performance wasn't the best, but it's 1-3-0, got a clean sheet. Kobbie Mainoo again, well, first start, and he was fucking phenomenal,
Sick.
bro. That guy played like he's been playing football for like 15 years. You know, the way he was moving, the experience, the way he was skipping past players. I don't think he lost the ball once. No one could get the ball off him. You know, he was phenomenal. You just got to keep that guy fit. And I think there's something brewing there, you know, I think for United.
The thing is, I think, yeah, I was surprised he didn't get one of the match. But again, you kind of, it's one of the ones where you give it to Garnacho because of the quality of goal, right? But yeah, was it Kobbie Mainoo, right? He was unbelievable. I think what I was most impressed about is his kind of his IQ ability of being just knowledgeable about where he needs to be, what he needs to do at the right times, all those sorts of things that they normally say about developed, you know, experienced players. He was able to do.
Just the confidence.
That's it.
The confidence as well. He's been a hype from us, from our academy, for some time now, since he's about 16. And obviously he's 19 now. He's come onto the stage, just recently turned 19. And obviously the game against Arsenal in the pre-season, where we played you lot and we won 3-1, he played as a single pivot in that midfield as well, and absolutely bossed it. And that was basically our kind of mixed first team. That wasn't the first, and against your top team at that time, you know, I think you had Rice, Havertz, Odegaard.
Oh, we had the full armory there that day.
Yeah, he played phenomenal. So we already seen the signs, and then that was the game where he got injured. You know, so we already seen the signs there, but obviously it's been a long delay for this moment. You know, where we could have used him from first game onwards, but you know, anyway, he's here now. Just got to keep him fit. And obviously, we've got key games coming up. We've got Galatasaray away, massive one. You know, he's going to be needed in that game as well.
Do you think he'll play?
And it'll be interesting. 100%, bro. There's no reason why he won't play from until whatever happens to him. Unless he gets injured, he's going to play every game.
Do you think it's too early? Well, what I'm trying to say is, I don't know if is Casemiro injured then? Because Amrabat came.
Yeah, Casemiro is injured. Amrabat's there. Ericsson's injured, Mount's injured. There's
okay,
nothing there.
So we're definitely going to see him, obviously, more often than not now.
Even if they were fit, I think Ten Hag made it very clear from pre-season that he was going to be one of the main men. Like, it doesn't matter who he signed in that midfield, there was going to be a role for him, and it was going to be quite a significant role because he played prior to that injury. He played in every single pre-season game, and I think from how Ten Hag was talking about in the pressers as well. Up to that, I think he could tell. He didn't want to loan him out. He's like, look, this guy is something, you know, that we want to kind of breed him in. And given the role that he was playing in the preseason as that single pivot, you could tell, like, this is the guy that really brings that Ten Hag style of play into motion. You know, because the other guys just can't do that, what he does. You know, he's tried to play Casemiro in that role, can't do it. Amrabat can't do it, you know. Whoever you want to name, you just can't do it. And we've seen him do it. First Premier League game, you know, at the age of 19. So simple, simplicity as well.
No, I agree, because I think, I don't know, what's his progressive? Is he a DM? Is he just a DM? Or is he a guy who can probably come forward with the ball? Come forward with the ball. Can he play in a tube? Is what I'm trying to say with Casemiro or Amrabat.
Yeah, I think long term, that will be the thing. You know, where Casemiro comes in, and plays with Bruno and then himself, and they'll kind of just rotate in terms of. Casemiro will probably push up a bit more. Mainoo will push up. But we've seen it in the Everton game as well, where he can actually drive forward with the ball and play that forward pass at the same time. You know, I think there was one motion where he got the ball. I think Calvert-Lewin and someone else was pushing him, trying to get the ball off him. He got it right in front of our box. You know, Onana's taking the goal kick, passed it out. Skip past one, skip past two, basically broken the line. He's at the halfway line. Everton got really high line now because they're trying to press us from the front. And he's played one pass, shredded the whole team and defense, and it was slightly off from Garnacho's run, you know, because Garnacho made the behind the defense run, and obviously was slightly off. Slightly off meaning that Garnacho couldn't reach it, but that is a quality itself, you know, like you as an opposition, you've got to realize now that, you know, press this guy, we're probably a whole team's just going to get ripped there now. Yeah, so there's certain players you can press, certain players you can't. You know, there's some people have that ability where they want you to press because they know they're going to skip past you. You know, as soon as they skip past you, the whole field is open now. So it's start, and obviously, I think that helps the front, the final third of sides as well, those things from United, because obviously that's where we're struggling in terms of goals. It's good that obviously our attackers got the goals yesterday, for confidence perspective. But I think it allows like Bruno to push up a bit more where he needs to be. Still kind of pulling the numbers that he was when he had that phenomenal season, in terms of key passes. But we're just not seeing him in that final third as much as what we need to. And I think get him in that zone, and I think the rest will start clicking around.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Now it's like, I don't know. I don't want to put too much pressure on the kid, but he's able to probably knock. This is the best time for him to knuckle down that position, play a few more games. And I don't think he's one of the ones where, because he's so young, we don't. Obviously, United fans don't mind him making a few mistakes here and there because it's going to be expected. You come into games, Champions League, and in the league, away from home, Goodison Park, playing against like Abdoulaye Doucouré. He's not an easy guy to come up against. Do you know what I mean? Like, more like a hunter. So I mean, I was impressed. I was impressed, even though the rest of the team played good in general. Do you know what I mean? I thought he was quite good. And like you said about
Yeah,
the
I think it was
Rashford, Martial.
solid performance. They had chances, obviously not to push away from it, but main things, clean sheet. Obviously, finally scored more than one goal and a clean sheet, so it's massive. And obviously, away performance kind of go away from it, and obviously something that we need going into that Galatasaray game. And so, I think it's all kind of positives on that front. I don't think
Rashford
there's
on the score
much
sheet,
more.
Martial.
Yeah, Martial. And
No,
then
Anthony, who was on the right side? It was Rashford on the right, wasn't it?
Rashford on the right, and I think obviously Rashford suspended for the Champions League, so makes sense why Rashford played today, because he's not going to play
Midweek.
in a few days. Yeah, playing like a few days time, so that makes sense. Obviously we'll probably see Antony come back in to the right, and then I think the team will be the same. I don't think there'll be any change bar that. Maybe I don't know what the situation is on Hoyland. I don't see him training at the moment, so I think it will be the same. I think Martial will be up the top. Maybe Hoyland makes the bench. That's it.
Yeah, look, Garnacho on the left. Pretty good. No, good stuff, man. I don't know if there's much to talk about apart from that. You're 6 points off the top, which is pretty good to be fair, considering everyone's obviously said you haven't had a good start and you haven't played well and there's been problems with the strike force, which there have been, don't get me wrong. You can't just score before, obviously, this weekend, you scored one goal between all your attackers, which is shit. But I think your defense has been better. Do you know, obviously now you got Kobbie Mainoo coming through. Positive. It's positive signs, isn't it? I don't know who's your next games coming up after Galatasaray. Anyone difficult?
It's hard. Our fixture's coming in
Is it
now.
Newcastle?
Fucking intense. I think so. I think it's Newcastle away. So from this moment onwards till December, till the end of the year, basically, it's fucked. Let's put it that
Ay, this is not good. You got Newcastle away, Chelsea at home, Bournemouth at home
And then
again. That's not
Bournemouth on
too
home.
bad.
Yeah, that's all right. And then obviously, depending on what happens
In the Champions
on
League group,
Wednesday. Yeah, so. You know, if we lose or draw tomorrow, that buying game is irrelevant. If we win, then buying game is massive. You know, so it depends. And obviously, after that, we've got Liverpool away, so that's a massive
that's a
game.
big
After
boy.
that, got West Ham away, huge. Villa at home, huge.
It's not
You
even
know,
huge. They're
Forest
difficult
away.
games, man. They're not even. Do you know what I
Yeah, they're
mean?
massive,
Then you get
massive
to the Christmas
games. You know,
period
Villa.
where it's just games after games.
Yeah, like I think let's say from now to end of the year, like Forest, like
Mm.
the Forest is the last one, and after that there's a break. You know, I think you have that 2 week winter break, whatever, and then you come back Tottenham. But obviously, key thing is lack of injuries, so we don't want injuries. You know, that's number one
Yeah.
priority. If we can get through into the Champions League, that's massive. You know, that would be huge. Obviously, we are going to lose here and there. I'd probably say Liverpool loss, Newcastle loss. To be honest, when we come onto a Newcastle game, I think there is hope in that game, but it's not going to be an easy game. You know, and obviously our track record there recently has been shit. But yeah, I think there is hope into that game more so than going into Liverpool game.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Good stuff. Let's move on. Where do you want to move on? I think we move biggest game of the season. I say biggest game of the season. Best, definitely last few seasons. You can. Oh, it's the biggest teams, isn't it? Liverpool, Liverpool City. I thought City were gonna do not a madness, but I thought it'd be fairly comfortable. You know, maybe a 2-0, but. Liverpool grind up, man. Trent with the equalizer. Bad boy Predator boots as well. I've seen them.
Yeah, I've
They look
seen them. They
hard.
were
I think Saka's wearing them. Is it
iconic.
Saka? Might be something else. I can't
Iconic, I
remember.
think.
Yeah, one of the best boots ever made. Talking points. I don't really know. Haaland obviously started, scored first half. And I thought City would go on from there, to be honest. I thought they would just control the game, maybe get another goal second half. It didn't look that way. I don't know what to really. Obviously, it's definitely a more positive result for Liverpool than it is for City. But do you have anything in particular that stood out to you?
No, not really. I think Liverpool played quite well. I think they controlled it, and I think it comes back to that kind of Pep style versus Klopp style. And I think when Klopp style is running and in full throttle, and Pep style is always in full throttle anyway, you know, there's never a moment where Pep's team is kind of out of form or, you know, shit. You always kind of see Klopp style trump Pep's, and when it goes really bad, you know, especially for Pep. I think obviously recent times when you've seen City beat Liverpool, you know, we all know the issues that Liverpool have had, you know, not being the best of form, but they've been quite shit in the league at that time. But yeah, Liverpool good. I think they controlled the game. City, I think they had a lot of ball, had a lot of chances here and there, a lot of shots from outside the box, a lot of block shots. Other than that, there's nothing really there. I thought Liverpool towards the end, they probably could have gone on and won the game, you know. But I think Klopp made a few subs at the end and kind of game managed it, which is fair enough, fair play. I think he took Diaz, he took, sorry, no, I think he took McAllister and Nunez off,
Endo
or
came
Endo
on, yeah.
and Elliot. And I think that team that we saw from before that subs, you know, that was a very attacking team, you know. And I think they would have had a couple of chances. And maybe nicked it, but obviously, I think Klopp's perspective, he's happy to take the point, and just kind of move away from it, and that's it, you know. And fair play to them, you know, they fully deserved it. Obviously, I think the talking point is the disallowed goal.
That's what I was going to come on to. I don't. I just. The thing is that annoys me. Yeah, you give Gabriel's not a foul, obviously at Newcastle, and then you give this one a foul. But my only judgment is because it's a keeper, and obviously keepers get so
Yeah.
much benefit
Yeah,
of
you touch the
doubt.
keeper and that's it.
Bro, you put a finger on the keeper, they go down, and it's that's it. That's it. On the fucking floor. Start ranting and raving, and that's it. They just obviously get the decision because it's a keeper. That's why I don't. I just,
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's just,
100%.
it's annoying. It's just doesn't make.
No, I thought,
What's going on?
yeah, totally agree with you on that. I when I seen it, I was watching it live, and I'll be honest with you, there was nothing in it, bro. There was no
Who's it?
contact, you know.
Akanji?
There was,
Akanji on Alisson, isn't it?
yeah, Kanji, yeah. There was nothing in it, you know. There was no contact. There was barely anything. And obviously, like you said, you touch the keeper, and it's kind of given a foul anyway. But which is fair enough. I think City have had their massive third views on decisions, but I don't think it's controversial because that's probably a decision that should have, the way it went, it's probably a fair decision, you know. And it is the right decision, I think, on that front. because ultimately, I think if you start giving it the other way and not supporting the goalkeeper, then where is the line, in terms of how can you deem the contact in terms of strength? You can't. You know what I mean? Because it's impossible to see. So, and I think given how the game is anyway, I think it's probably the right
It's strange.
decision. I don't think there's
It's
anything controversial on that.
one of the consistent things that have just happened in the last 10 years or so. Whereas if you put your glove on, you put anything on the keeper, they'll say it's a foul. Do you mean it's probably one of the things that's always consistent? I guess with everything else going on
Yeah.
now this season, all the wrong decisions, this one's going to be more, or what's the word? It's just going to be more in the limelight. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be more highlighted, should I say. So.
Yeah, and to be honest, I don't think there's really much noise around it, which is good. Like, I'm not really seeing anything on
No.
socials, bar like City fans having like a little hissy fit, but there's nothing new there.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think rest of it, I think it's general kind of. It was a good game to watch, and I think fair play to Liverpool. They went and done the job and probably showed other teams, if you are to get a result against City, this is kind of how you do it.
Thing is, I was surprised City made no subs. I mean, Pep's done it before. He just doesn't make any subs in general, but I don't understand why he doesn't do it with that bench. Do you know what I mean? Even Grealish for Doku, if you've got two unbelievable wingers, left wingers on the bench, why wouldn't you just, do you know what I mean?
I think the thing is with that Doku, like I think they were saying it, but the benches, there's nothing on the bench. You look at the bench, like in terms of attacking, like malice, there wasn't anything really there. It wasn't. I don't think Grealish was on the bench.
Oh yeah, Grealish wasn't on the bench. Two keepers.
Yeah, so look, yeah, there wasn't anything there. In terms of there were just defenders on the bench, and to be honest, Doku was. I think he got man of the match. I don't know if he's quote me wrong or did Trent get it, but I think he was like one of the highest rated. But I've seen a stat on him on Twitter
Yeah, Doku
where
got the highest rate.
he got the 11, he done 11 successful dribbles. That's the most in a game anyone has ever done in the history of Premier League. So he actually played really well. Yeah, so he actually played
No, you're
really
right.
well.
I just looked at the bench now. Two keepers and basically all defenders. But this is what I mean. Like, don't you think Pep likes to control the game when he's 1-0 up? So I would have expected someone like
Yeah, but the thing is, I
Calvin
think
Phillips.
they were losing control of the game anyway, in terms of, and I think probably the reason why they were losing control, I think they had Akanji in midfield, but obviously Akanji offered that height in defence, which is fair enough. And obviously Akanji is probably not as good as John Stones in that position, but I think Liverpool's midfield were kind of coming into their element, and there was a period where Liverpool were getting a lot of the ball. Man City weren't able to get it off them. When they were getting it off them, Man City were kind of playing on the break, on the counter. They kind of sat back. So I don't really know who you bring on. Calvin Phillips, I know he doesn't trust
Yeah, he
him
doesn't. He's not gonna
to
play
an
him.
extent.
He's not gonna play
I
him.
think you've got Guard Vidal. He's a bit rash. In this type of game, with the players that Liverpool have, very quick, very pacey.
I thought even Ake
One
played well though, so I
little.
don't think there was any envy. You know what I mean? Any reason to bring him off anyway,
Yeah, so I
bro?
don't think
So.
there's really, I don't think there's, I think fair play, to Pep. I think that I can't really fault him on that, and I think it's kind of like a, it was a good game, it was a game that, it was quite interesting to watch because it's kind of like two horns locked, even though the stats might not say it, but I felt that, Liverpool played quite well.
Coming on to yeah, I mean, to be fair, a final thing for me, really. I thought City would win it because based on Liverpool's midfield, they don't have a six. I thought City would be able to find pockets behind McAllister, but now fair play to Liverpool. Does one question though? I think personally, this says more about Liverpool and their title attempt this season than what City are falling more. Do you know what I mean? I think City are obviously just kind of, like you said about their bench and things like that, not clicking as much this season. But for Liverpool to go in there and obviously get 1-1, and their attacking threat is serious, isn't it? They've got so many attacking options for them to actually change games. Obviously, they got Europe. Yeah,
Liverpool.
Liverpool. Yeah, Liverpool.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? So
exactly. They've got so much off the bench, you know, whereas before we didn't see that. Yeah, they've got
No way.
Gakpo coming off the bench, you know, they've got Diaz coming off the bench.
Elliot, who else did they have?
Yeah, Elliot.
Got a few other.
Yeah, so they've got options. Yeah, they've got some great options, you know, when it comes out. Gravenberch, you know, as well.
Gravenberch, yeah. And obviously the last person, Endo, who's kind of like a six. Their most six, should I say. But no, I thought it was a good result. I mean, obviously, is there anything you also want to say on the game?
No, I don't
No.
think
Because I was going to
there's
say
much.
that, I mean, watching that, obviously knowing the result 1-1, good, this perfect for Arsenal to kind of capitalize and get top of the league that we can transition on to Brentford Arsenal. Because obviously, considering the fact that they drew, knowing that a win would get us top, we needed to win that game. Now, I'll be honest, I thought that performance, like any other performance this season, has been a bit shit, but it's been a weird one. We normally get results when we don't play that great this season. Do you know what I mean? I don't know, man. It's just been a weird season for Arsenal, and we're sitting top of the league. I don't. Do you know what I mean? We're not even. It's not even on
Again.
merit. Yeah. But this season, do you know what I mean? Last season, we deserved to be where we were last season. Obviously, we lost to United away from home, but apart from that, we won every game until now. At the same stage, sorry, last season. But that's what I mean. I don't know. This season, we're not merited there. But I think that's the way this league's been so far. Do you know what I mean? It's not been there's not been a clear runaway leader of the Prem this season.
Yeah, and I think obviously historically, when you see, think of all the, you know, I think whenever I think of like United and stuff, like back in the day, you have that element where you just grind it. You know, we used to spend most of the season grinding results, and then, you know, certain periods we'll play amazing, but you know, there was probably like a good percentage of United seasons when they used to win the leagues, you know, under Fergie, you're just grinding. That element of grinding is a harder thing to do. You know, and obviously that's the key thing. When you grind it, you know, you end up getting the clean sheet and you get like a 1-0, whatever it is, 2-0 win, whatever it is. But those are the games where, you know, you look back at probably end of the season, and that's where you probably, you know, what makes a big difference, you know. And I think form is something where comes and goes. You know, you see it all the time. But you know, I think you just need a couple of players to click. And then that's it, you know, your fortunes kind of change, and you're playing good football, and you've got everything else behind it as well. So, yeah, I think it was a game I didn't expect Arsenal to probably not win, you know,
Yeah, I agree, but no, mate, I thought the manner
given,
was a bit different. You would have thought the manner of the
yeah.
victory would have been a bit different.
But I think given who you're playing as well, like Brentford away, like I know they've got. Brentford's attack, you know, there's a lot of pace. You've got Mbeumo there, you've got Wiese. You know, they kind of spearhead that, but they're very pacey players. And then on the set piece, you know, Brentford are
They're
lethal. You know,
good,
they've got
yeah. They've got
height.
some good height, and they play with obviously a back
Yeah.
five. So you expect what the three defenders to have some good
And
height
then
anyway.
late night kickoff, you know, like, bro, that's the place where, same like Everton, like the when United game, you want to just take the 3 points and get the
That's
hell out
it,
of there. Yeah.
exactly that. I don't know. Who's talking about the game in general, bro? We had to scrap it. You showed we had two goal line clearances from Zinchenko and obviously Rice in the first half. Obviously, it's funny because obviously Havertz scored a goal from open play for the first time this season. Good goal, to be fair. Good work goal. But no one's talking about it because I think everyone just accepted that. Look, we got the result. We just I say we leave. We don't actually care about that. How we played, things like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's the kind of main thing, you know, like you just move on to the next one. You know, I think that's the key thing. Just that's it, like done, next.
That's it. That's it. I don't really know the much. I mean, obviously Ramsdale started, but that Rice off the line clearance was the, oh, I want to say the only hiccup really he had. It could have been disastrous, but I think that's how, that right there shows how much Rice is valuable to his team because I think a lot of DMs, Partey, I would have said, would have just stood there. He wouldn't have probably got back on that. He would have allowed it. He'd just like, I say, I'm going back to Ghana or wherever. Do you know what I mean? Just like, that's it. It's calm. Concede the goal and move on. But I think Rice is just determination, his captaincy kind of attributes, if you can say, they're so, it's so well how much he's actually improved this team. And our back five, including, I mean, the goalkeeper's been shaky, Raya and Ramsdale, but the back four and Rice have been absolutely unbelievable this season. That's all I can say. Like, obviously, the front of the pitch has been a bit wavered. Saka, Martinelli, Jesus, even Trossard's been a bit of a spark, to be fair. Odegaard's been off it. And then we can't even find anyone within that next to Odegaard and Rice to kind of develop this team and kind of replace what Saka was doing. But, you know, Rice in the back four being sick. Can't say enough. I can't praise them enough, really. They've probably got us here. Do you know what I mean? They've got us to where we are right now, top of the league. So, I can't really say
very good time.
Much. I can't really say
quite well. I think that's it. I think Arsenal, just steamrolling ahead.
That's it, yeah. We move on. Champions League, I think we should top the group. Beat Sevilla twice, so... Yeah, I don't think there's much. I think we got Lons at home, and then there's, one more game after that. Yeah, we'll move on. We'll move on. I don't think there's much. Shall we move on to, again, another big game, Newcastle-Chelsea. Newcastle winning 4-1. Yeah. Everyone thought Chelsea were going to bounce back. Obviously, they were played well against City and scored 4 goals, and everyone was happy. And then obviously they got thumped 4-1 against Newcastle. Thoughts?
Yeah, and I think they played I thought they played actually really well, you know. And I think Newcastle scored
Isaac
a header.
Yeah.
Isaac started it off, I think. And then obviously Sterling scored a free kick. And then Newcastle went ahead again. But as soon as they scored that second goal, I think it was kind of chaos from Chelsea. You know, and I think kickoff happened. I think ball went to Thiago Silva. I tried to do a pass back to the goalkeeper and fucking absolutely scuffed it, mate. And it fucking went like 2 centimetres away from his foot. And Joel Linton comes in and scores. And it's 3-1, it's game done, buried. You know, as quick as that, you know, within 2 minutes, the game's done. But prior to that, Chelsea had it on locks. You know, I'll be honest with you, they controlled it. Probably like that City game as well. You know, they're controlling it. They're coming into element zone. And I think you're going to see that with Chelsea this season anyway. You're going to see these kind of ups and downs where they're not got that consistency from game to game. And I think that's fair. And obviously, I think from Chelsea's perspective, just an individual mistake probably cost them and obviously made the scoreline worse than what it was. And after that, obviously, Reece James came back from injury, just come back, and then obviously he's got suspended now. And then they're kind of back to square one, you know, especially with that. And I don't know who they play next, but... But yeah, I think it's all interesting times. I think Poch has got a lot of work on his hands. But I think, to be honest, he's doing a great job as well. You know, I think even though they are where they are, but can't question him. You know, he's doing a great job.
No, they got Brighton at home, and then obviously they got United away.
Yeah, away.
So yeah, they got. I think quite difficult fixtures, to be fair, coming in.
Yeah, and I think the bench is not probably the best, you know, I think, when it comes off. So in terms of what you see in that first XI, is their kind of best team, you know, bar, I think, Caicedo.
And Kunku is probably playing the main one, but I'm saying they haven't had him this season. So
exactly.
It's hard to judge how much He'll of an impact he actually will have. Yeah, he will, but it's hard to say how much of an impact straight away he will have. Because, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've got a few shining lights. Obviously, Cole Palmer playing well. Sterling's doing well now. I don't know about Jackson, but again, it's hard to say. He's still kind of learning.
Yeah, I think with him, I'd rather...
Learning his kind of trade in the Prem.
I think if I was Poch, I'd probably...
Paddy Shields coming back. Reece, the thing is, how do you... Well, I didn't see Reece James's 2 yellow cards. Did you?
Yeah, I seen them. First one was sloppy. I Yeah, so I think with his two yellows, I think first one was just standard. I think that was a yellow. Second one was a yellow as well. He got took off the ball. Gordon snipped it off him, and obviously it was a sprint race, and Gordon, you know how quick he is, and he wasn't going to win it. It clipped him from behind. Second yellow, he was off. Stupid. Shouldn't have done it. He was never going to win it. He should have just accepted that he's lost the ball, and from that moment onwards, try and recover. And I think I seen a stat just bring coming on to Reece James, carrying on with him. Actually, he's not played 3 games in a row since like 2018 or some shit like that. But that's just shambolic, mate.
What?
Something stupid like that. Yeah. So
This
I don't.
is go on, carry on about.
Yeah, no, I don't actually have anything more to say to him, about him. I think he's got a lot of hype. He's at 25 now. When has he actually lived up to his hype, in terms of a full season's worth of hype? Yeah, I think what, 25 years old. Yeah, he's not really had like a season where he's kind of shown. Obviously, we know he's notorious with injuries, but I don't know, man. I just think injuries are just sometimes are just not good enough as an excuse. And obviously, you've seen him just come back from injury and then get sent off. Especially when Chelsea are light on players anyway, light of quality players. You can't be doing that. Club captain as well, or is Chilwell club captain? He's vice, or is he club captain and Chilwell's vice? Yeah, so I'm not too sure who's.
This is the thing, like they're both injured all the time, so how do you know who's captain, really? Like you can't have a club captain who's always injured, regardless of his Chilwell or James. And like you said, I can't believe he actually said it. 2018, he hasn't played 3 games in a row. Like
It's something stupid like that. I seen it on
these
Twitter.
guys, obviously
It's
this
stupid.
guy's, I'm not saying he's denying his ability, but you can't see that ability like twice every like 5 6 games if he's not playing. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense of. You got to be in a position. If you're going to be in the conversation of Trent and Walker and I don't even know who else, Trippier, let's say, yeah, you can't be playing to not be playing 3 games in a row. How does that work out? And you're 25 years old. Now, if you're a fan of Lloyd, like you said, he's got an injury record and whatnot, but there must be you must be thinking, oh, how do I not get injured as much as what I've been doing when I was younger? Do you know what I mean? There's got to be some sort of different training regime or different diet thing. You know what I mean? Anything you would change up to see how you can change your body and make you more available. So I don't know. It's true. That's unbelievable. Now he's obviously he's a he's is it was it 2 yellows? If it was, yeah, it's 2 yellows. So well, he's only out for the Brighton game and then he's back for United. But yeah, I don't really know what to say. Newcastle. Do you have anything much to say about Newcastle in general?
Yeah, so with Newcastle, I think they kind of got the job done. Obviously, given the opponent that they were playing, I think they've got a few injuries here and there, and apparently that's affecting their style of play. But when we have it, no one seems to remember or kind of note it. So I don't know. I think they're doing all right. I think they're getting results where they need to. Big Champions League coming up, game coming up. So it'll be interesting to see, what happens there, and obviously going on to the league after that.
No, that's it. I don't think there's much to come on talk about that anymore. Let's move on to yesterday's game, Spurs versus Villa. Villa getting 2-1 win. Watkins on the score sheet again. I heard this was a Premier League record. Spurs winning 1-0 for 3 games in a row and still losing for the first time in Premier League history, which is mad to say, but it's Spursy, isn't it? So I don't know. In general, is there much to say about the game?
I think they played first half. I thought they played quite well.
They hit the post, didn't they? Twice?
Yeah. And then
Once or twice.
obviously Tottenham, no, sorry, Villa scored that goal at the end. Great ball, great header as well, same time. And then you just kind of felt that Spurs were just not going to go on and get that winning goal. You know, you kind of always knew that Villa probably slightly, as the game progresses, control it. And then as they did, and obviously you've seen Villa's lineup. I think they've got very much, you know, kind of those box-to-box midfielders, very composed on the ball, you know, very hard to kind of get the ball off, and very systematic how they kind of, you know, go forward in terms of their blocks. And they, I thought they kind of controlled it, you know, from that moment on. And I think Spurs carry on, you know, with their poor reign of form, you know, as of recent weeks. And I can't, to be honest, I don't know who they got next, but I think they got City. No chance are they going to beat City, you know. And I think, is that at the Etihad? I think it's at the Etihad. So I think it'll just carry on the form.
No, I think in terms of Villa, I think obviously it's a big result for Villa, 2-1 at I don't know, probably a place where they're against the Spurs side that they're actually challenging in terms of places that and where they're going to finish this season. Obviously, they're in the first, I think they're in the top four since 2009, I believe, which is pretty crazy. So, Unai Emery's doing a very good job. Obviously, they got the Conference League, and I think they're able to kind of rotate a few people in that, give other people minutes. I think their bench is really good. They got Diaby, they've obviously got Bailey, they've got mans like McGinn, Kamara, Douglas Luiz, who's obviously played very well this season. Watkins is firing on top up top for them. I don't know, it's just well rounded. Obviously Mings is injured pretty much for the whole season. And obviously they've got someone in Pau Torres who's able to do a job on the left at left centre back. They got I forgot his name. Is it Diego Carlos? They've got Konsa, they've obviously got Matty Cash. They've got some good players. And I think they're merited on where are they right now. Fourth, I think it is. So they're merited where they are. Obviously I don't think they'll finish there, and if they do, it'll be unbelievable, sorry. But no, I don't think there's much to say on that. Obviously it's kind of a good win for them against Tottenham because of the fact that I think them two would probably be challenging positions this season for the Europa League stroke, maybe Conference League, but I'll probably see more of the Europa League spots. So look, I think they're just going from strength to strength, and we'll see how they get on the next few seasons, next few games, sorry. Obviously those other results, I'll kind of go through them quickly. West Ham winning at Burnley, Luton winning another game against Palace at home, so a good win for them. Brighton getting a red card but holding on against Forest 3. Yeah, I think that wraps up Villa versus Spurs. I think the other games there wasn't really much to talk about. Again, if you liked the episode, hit that like button. Give us a good rating, on 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify. Hit us up on Instagram at the Tacticos. And if you have any more questions or suggestions, hit us up on there. Appreciate your time. We'll see you on the next one.